Going to be reading Matthew 5, 21 through 26. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to the court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. We're going to be talking a little bit about managing anger of all things. I know that's one of those things that some of us have a lot of trouble with. Sometimes we get angry and it's hard to control. Some of us, like me, are pretty laid back. It takes a lot to make me angry, but boy, when I hit that threshold, look out. So we're going to talk about managing anger today. There's a story that Alfred Lord Tennyson once invited a Russian nobleman to do some hunting. The nobleman went off one morning by himself, returned later in the day. Tennyson says, "Well, how did you do?" "Not too well," replied the nobleman. "I shot two peasants." "You mean two pheasants?" Tennyson said. "We pronounce that with a PH, pheasant." "No," the nobleman said, "I meant two peasants. They were insolent to me, and so I shot them." I hope that if people are a little bit insolent or a little mean to us, we don't shoot them over it. It is kind of an outrageous story, but, you know, some people, especially in today's society, it might happen. You may remember back in the 1970s, the mood rings. This was about the same time, one of those big fads with the pet rock, which I never did quite understand either. They were popular with the young ladies, and they were supposed to, based on your body heat, which is supposed to follow your emotions, change colors so that people could look at your ring and say, well, she's in a good mood, or she's in a bad mood, or however. Well, a man bought his wife one day because he was concerned about her mood changes and was never real sure what mood she was in. And it worked out pretty good. When it turned green, she was in a pretty good mood. And when she was in a bad mood, there was a red spot on his forehead. There's a 1976 Peanuts comic strip, Peppermint Patty, got so angry at Charlie Brown that her mood ring actually exploded. And that's a bad mood. And it's kind of a funny thing. We can talk about that. But people's emotions affect how they are. And you can go from a good mood to a bad mood, back and forth, any number of times, any number of ways. Timothy McVeigh, explaining why he bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City, said he was angry with the government over the way they handled the Branch Davidian crisis in Waco. He got angry, so he decided to blow up a building and kill over 100 innocent men, women, and children, which is a pretty extreme thing to do just because you're angry about something. But we look around us today, and we see a lot of that. We see school shootings, we see bombings and terrorist attacks and all these different things. And so maybe it's not such an extreme thing. In the Sermon on the Mount, what we just read part of, Jesus talks about anger. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder.' And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' which is an Aramaic term for what we would say today, numbskull, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Jesus makes those extreme comments about emotion, something that's universal and people get angry. It's because that outward act begins with an internal emotion. And we need to give those words of Jesus prayerful consideration, particularly in society today, where we do see bombings and school massacres, teenagers and adults walking around like ticking time bombs, wondering when something's going to happen because they may have been bullied by somebody. And I know when we were young, that went on too, but we didn't go around shooting each other. The pervasiveness of anger in our society has reached extreme proportions. And that's why we're talking about anger a little bit today. Civilization, we need to have this conversation about anger and how we can control it, how we can keep from being so destructive, not just destructive of others and other things, but destructive of ourselves. Because inasmuch as anger hurts other people, anger can hurt you as well. They did a study, Dr. Williams at Duke University did a study several years ago about anger and hostility and how it harmed the body as much as smoking or high blood pressure. He talked about how he had taken 255 doctors and they took the MMPI, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, which is a test that psychologists give to kind of figure out what kind of personality you are, what type of person you are, how you deal with things, and all that. Over the next 25 years, he watched those 255 doctors, and those that scored in the upper 50% experienced a death rate of 14%. Those who scored lower on hostility only had a 2.5% death rate. Heart disease was 5 times as common among the hostile group. So you can see where anger doesn't just affect others. Anger affects you as well. Very detrimentally in some places. I wasn't aware of this, but did you know that a rattlesnake, if you corner a rattlesnake, it will bite itself? That's really kind of strange. But it also explains, you know, how we hurt ourselves because we get hostile and cornered or anger. We need to learn how to deal with our anger constructively. So here's some ideas. In the first place, we need to see that there are times when people ought to express their anger. And that is something that even the nice, good, sweet, decent people do. We all get angry sometimes. When Jesus told us to turn the other cheek, he did not mean for us to become a doormat for people to walk all over. He was no doormat. Remember, he drove the money changers and all that out of the temple. He got so angry. Remember that he was angry with those who criticized him for healing on the Sabbath. And remember, he called the Pharisees blind fools. So we can see where there is a place for anger. But that doesn't mean anger allows us to sin. Paul tells us, be angry, but do not sin in Ephesians. And there are times when expressing anger is the proper thing to do. But we don't shoot people just because they got mean with us. That's the wrong thing to do. Our question this morning is, how do we deal with that as Christians? How do we deal with anger? Because we do all get angry. Even Jesus. So how do we deal with our anger? How do we turn that from a stumbling block to a stepping stone? We need to acknowledge, first of all, the destructive ways people deal with anger. And how some people, when they get angry, just let it all hang out. just let it out there. They blow up in every direction. They shoot peasants, kick dogs, throw bricks through windows. That danger is obvious. And some of them tend to excuse themselves by saying that, well, I've got an uncontrollable temper. They're lying to you. There is no such thing as an uncontrollable temper. We all have control over our bodies and how we handle ourselves. There's a story of a Swami in a village in Bengal who claims to have mastered anger. When his ability to control his anger is challenged, he tells a story of a cobra who used to sit by the pass on the way to the temple and bite people. The Swami went to visit the snake to see if he could resolve the problem. And using a mantra, he called the snake to him and brought it into submission, telling the snake that it was wrong to bite people. And he persuaded the snake to promise not to do it again. And when the people saw that the snake was no longer a threat, they grew unafraid of him. Unfortunately, because they grew unafraid of him, before long, the boys were tormenting that poor snake, dragging it through the village, and doing all kinds of terrible things to it. So later on, the Swami went to visit the snake to kind of see how things were going, see if he had kept his promise. And he found that poor snake miserable and hurting and exclaimed, "You're bleeding. Tell me how this came to be." The snake was in anguish and blurted out that he had been abused ever since the Swami made him promise to stop biting people. To which the Swami said, "I told you not to bite, but I did not tell you not to hiss." Sometimes we need to know that it's all right to hiss. It's all right to get angry and say things to people within reason. It's okay to hiss. It doesn't mean you have to bite their head off. It's controllable. And we need to understand that even anger can be a gift from God. It can be a great motivating force. When you get angry, sometimes you do things better than you would have if you just stayed calm. You get angry at that, whatever it is that you're working on, because it just ain't happening right. And when you get angry, you think, oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. So anger can be a good thing sometimes. Martin Luther used to make the comment that when he was angry, he could pray better and preach better. Channing Pollock makes the statement that men and motor cars progress by a series of internal explosions. And I guess in a way that could be true. Anger is only an enemy when we let it get out of control, or when it controls us. So we need to remember there are times when anger needs to be expressed, but do it delicately. The second guideline, as much as important, is anger needs to be resolved at the first possible opportunity. Immediately after speaking harsh judgments concerning anger, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." It's okay to be angry at somebody, but Jesus says, talk to that person that made you angry. Try and resolve the situation as soon as you can. Anger can be resolved in a lot of cases. It's most destructive when you let it fester inside you like an open wound. C.S. Lewis, in his book The Great Divorce, tells a story of a visitor who was permitted to temporarily visit hell. And at one point, while he's visiting hell, there's a busload of souls that are taken to heaven. And as a part of their little trip to heaven, they are given the privilege of staying in heaven if they so choose. But surprisingly, none of the people on this busload from hell wanted to stay in heaven. And one of these is a woman whose husband had treated her abusively on earth. She decides to return to hell. The reason, she says, is, "I would rather burn in hell than forgive my husband." We all know people like that. "I'd rather burn in hell than forgive you." And that's sad. There should always be forgiveness there. Some time ago, there was a story about two sisters. They were living in the same house. They were unmarried, single. They got into a fight one day. Knockdown, drag out fight. And because of that, they decided they weren't going to talk to each other anymore. Living in the same house, but they were not going to have anything to do with each other. Well, then they decided the only way that was going to work out is to build a dividing wall down through the house, which was kind of okay. They both had bedrooms on each end of the house and bathrooms, so that was okay. But the dividing wall went down through the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen. The problem in the kitchen was the water pump was on one side of the wall. The stove was on the other side of the wall. So the sister with the stove had to go next door to get water to cook with. The sister with the water pump, she managed to get a little charcoal grill and she cooked on it. So it kind of worked out. But one day, one of the sisters had a stroke. It paralyzed her and made her speechless. And even though her sister was a few feet away on the other side of the wall, she laid there within a few hours, died. Well, the other sister, feeling so guilty about what had happened and how they had been unforgiving of each other and how if they hadn't divided the house, she might have saved her sister and she might still be alive. The guilt was so bad that within a few weeks, she died. Tragedy often resolves from unresolved anger and resentment. Always remember the old saying, never let the sun go down on your anger. Never let the sun go down on your anger. That's good for everyone. It's good for spouses, families, friends, coworkers. If you get into a tiff, it's not worth getting hurt over. It's not worth the festering anger. Resolve the situation before you go to bed. Resolve it as soon as possible, Jesus says. And it's good for the relationship. We all remember the movie Forrest Gump. His favorite saying is, "Life is like a box of chocolates." Well, in one of the scenes in the movie, you remember Jenny, a friend of his. They go out to the old homestead, the old farmhouse. It's all falling down and dilapidated. And she remembers when she was young how she was sexually abused by her dad. So she starts picking up rocks and throwing them at this house, trying to get rid of the anger. Eventually, she collapses and falls down to the ground. Forrest looks at her and smiles and he says, "Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks." And that's true. No matter what someone has done to you, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. And that's when we need to surrender our anger, surrender our hatred, give it to God, and let Him replace it with love and forgiveness. This brings us to the final idea. Unresolved anger is a spiritual problem. Anger not only affects our health and our relationship with others, it is important in our relationship with God. And that's why Christ tells us that if we are offering our gift at the altar, and remember we have something against a brother and sister, take care of it first. Then go to the altar, because it creates a spiritual wall between you and God. Some of you may remember back in May of 1981 when Pope John Paul II was shot by a terrorist. A terrorist named Nemet Ali Agca. He was arrested, sentenced to life in prison. But did you know that Pope John Paul, on the Christmas of 1983, went to visit him in prison to extend forgiveness and reconciliation? Did it make a difference? I think so. A year later, Agca made a proclamation from his prison cell that he was renouncing terrorism to become a man of peace. He promised that if he was ever freed, he would become, and I quote, a preacher, going to all nations of the world, preaching love and truth to all nations. That's how Pope John Paul handled it. And if we as Christians were to handle similar situations the same way, be loving and forgiving, turning loose of that anger, imagine what could happen in our world if we'd quit getting mad at each other about insignificant things. There's a book by David Paulet called The Law of the Garbage Truck: How to Respond to People Who Dump on You and How to Stop Dumping on Others. He says 20 years ago, he narrowly escaped a life-threatening automobile accident when a car, without warning, plowed into the taxi he was in. The driver of the other car, who was obviously at fault, got out of the car, started shouting obscenities at the taxi driver. But the taxi driver just sat there and smiled at him and waved, even though this other driver was shouting terrible things at him. He smiled and waved and wished him well. Mr. Paulet says, I was impressed by that and asked him why he had done that. The taxi driver said, well, many people are like garbage trucks. They run around full of garbage, full of frustration, full of anger, and full of disappointment. And as their garbage piles up, they look for a place to dump it. And if you let them, they'll dump it on you. So when someone wants to dump on you, don't take it personally. Smile, wave, wish them well, and move on. And believe me, you will be happier. So in the book, he asks, what about you? What would happen in your life starting today if you let more garbage trucks just pass you by? I think you'd be happier. And the world would be a better place. Learn to control your anger. Learn to forgive those who have done you wrong. And when you are in a mood to kill, either literally or figuratively, pause for a moment and remember Christ's teaching. Turn your anger over to Christ and walk away with a smile on your face. And that's the best way to handle anger. That's managing anger. Give it to God. Give it to Christ. Resolve the situation. Smile and don't let them get to you. He who makes you angry controls you. Don't let that happen. Smile, wish them well, and be happy. Amen.